From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, August 30th, 2018. And on this day, the Maine legislature returns to Augusta to deal with some thorny issues. A marine heat wave in the Gulf of Maine associated with some major ecosystem changes. That's ahead in a moment.
Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Lawmakers are still in session at this hour and will likely be in Augusta into the evening as they take up several tough issues. Maine Public Radio political reporter Mal Leary joins us from Augusta. Mal, wasn't this supposed to be a one-day session mostly on the child welfare bills?
Well, you're right on that, Ed, but this is the legislature, and issues have a way of taking on a life of their own. The child welfare bills have engendered considerable debate in both the House and Senate, and the most controversial one that would have made it a criminal offense for a mandated reporter not to report a suspected case of abuse or neglect, that was killed by lawmakers. A bill providing funding for additional pay, more supervisors, a new computer system for tracking all of those child protective cases, that bill with a price tag of some $21 million has been passed. Other parts of the package are still in play but are expected to be passed before lawmakers go home later tonight.
So most of the governor's plan is moving forward. Another major bill was tax conformity. What happened with that measure?
Tax conformity also has been approved by lawmakers. This makes several changes to the state's tax laws as a result of that massive federal tax cut that was passed late last year. But it does not simply conform state law to the federal changes. Maine, for example, will keep the standard deduction the feds got rid of. Both personal and corporate income tax rates are reduced, and there are several other changes in the massive tax code. One change the state is not making is conforming to the federal change that eliminates the estate tax. And in the Democratic caucus this morning, fears were expressed that that failure will lead to a veto of this bill from the governor.
Okay, so that's why lawmakers aren't finishing up tonight. They'll be back for a veto day in September.
And it may not only be the veto of the tax bill that we're talking about here, Ed. There could be other vetoes. The governor often looks on vetoes like he's a legislator, and that's why he's issued more vetoes than all other governors combined in modern times. As we speak, the Appropriations Committee is considering an emergency request from Secretary of State Matt Dunlap for an additional $300,000 for the fall elections. Some of that is related to ranked choice voting costs, and it may well draw a veto from the governor if lawmakers finally pass it.
So it sounds like it's been a busy day up there. Any other surprises?
There are always surprises when the legislature is in, Ed. I think the decision by the House to send a question to the state Supreme Court on Indian gaming may qualify as a big surprise. The order asks the opinion of the justices whether a 1987 U.S. Supreme Court ruling on tribal gaming is applicable to the Holton Band of Maliseets. This order has been on the House calendar for months, and it was finally passed today 70-54. Now, the reality is the court may decline to issue an advisory opinion on all of this, but now we'll have to see what the court does, and I'm sure the tribe will be watching it closely.
A very busy day that's not over. Thank you so much, Mal. Maine Public Radio political reporter Mal Leary. The U.S. Department of Justice has sided with a group that's suing Harvard University over its admissions practices. Students for Fair Admissions, founded by part-time Maine resident Edward Bloom of South Thomaston, asserts that Harvard uses race to the detriment of some applicants.
Harvard intentionally, and that's an important word, intentionally discriminates against Asian Americans in the application process.
Bloom says he's very gratified that the Department of Justice agrees. The DOJ brief also contends that Harvard is making no effort to limit the use of race in its admissions. Meanwhile, Harvard University has responded that it's deeply disappointed with the brief. The university counters that it does not discriminate against any racial group and says colleges and universities must be allowed the freedom to create a diverse campus, which it describes as vital to the student experience. The lawsuit goes on trial on October 15th in federal court in Boston. Water temperatures in the Gulf of Maine are on course to be one of the warmest on record, and the marine heat wave is being associated with disruptions in the Gulf's ecosystem. As Fred Bever reports, some animals in the Gulf seem to be adapting.
Scientists at the Gulf of Maine Research Institute use satellite data to chart surface-level water temperatures at some 400 locations in the Gulf. And through early summer, it looked like those measurements might fall within historical norms.
But then in July, the temperatures just started to really shoot up.
Andrew Pershing is the Institute's chief scientific officer.
And we were watching in early August as the temperatures in the Gulf of Maine started to hit levels that we've never seen before for that time of year. And we actually hit temperatures that were very, very close to setting the all-time record for the Gulf of Maine.
On August 8th, GMRI recorded an average temperature of more than 68 degrees Fahrenheit, just 5/100ths lower than a record set in 2012. And as in that year, the high water temperatures this year are associated with an abundance of some species usually found farther south, such as squid, black sea bass, and butterfish. At the same time, a scarcity of herring this year is limiting fishing quotas for the traditional lobster trap bait, and it's making life difficult for herring-dependent species such as puffins. Linda Welch is a biologist with the Maine Coastal Islands National Wildlife Refuge.
Throughout July, a lot of the seabirds were having difficulty finding food in order to feed their chicks. We saw tern chicks dying, and a lot of the puffin chicks were losing weight and weren't developing as they normally should.
More recently, she says, the chicks seem to be faring better, and the leader of the Audubon Society's Project Puffin, Stephen Kress, says adult birds are responding flexibly to changes in the water. They are prospecting for prey among the newer species, including squid, he says, and they are increasing the number of times they feed their young, from roughly 1 to 3 times a day to as many as 19. The usual chick-rearing season has been extended, Kress says, allowing them more time to put on weight.
The season isn't over till it's over.
Documenting change in the warming Gulf of Maine is bringing a stream of surprises to scientists who study what is one of the fastest warming saltwater bodies in the world. As one put it, warm equals weird. Cole Canwit, who monitors algae blooms for the state's Department of Marine Resources, says species never before observed here are showing up and sometimes thriving.
Yes, yes. I mean, Karenia micmoidoi was never documented in the Gulf of Maine or in along the Maine coast prior to 2 years ago. You know, that's a recent problem that, you know, I would say has a lot to do with water temperature.
GMRI's Andrew Pershing says this decade marks a new era of repeated marine heat waves characterized by extended periods of above average temperatures in the Gulf. He cites a combination of factors. They include general warming of the planet, with all its waters acting as a heat sink. But Pershing says the satellite data are also revealing some specific phenomena. The melting of the Greenland ice pack is disturbing usual current patterns in the North Atlantic, while a blob of warm water, possibly from the subtropical Gulf Stream, is coursing into a deep water channel on the Gulf of Maine's eastern perimeter.
Been this kind of mushroom-shaped blob of really, really warm water, and it sort of comes and goes in pulses. But that warm water has been there, and when we see that warm water kind of piling up in that region, those are often the years where we get set up for these really extreme temperatures.
Pershing says this year is on track to be the third warmest on record in the Gulf of Maine's waters, and may end up as the second warmest. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Maine Independent U.S. Senator Angus King has joined with more than 40 Democratic senators to oppose a reported plan by the U.S. Department of Education to use some federal funds to pay for guns and firearms training in schools. Robbie Feinberg has more.
Last week, the New York Times reported that Education Secretary Betsy DeVos is considering allowing school districts to spend some of the approximately $1 billion they receive from certain federal grants on guns and gun training for teachers and staff. The Trump administration disputed the story, but Democratic lawmakers quickly came out against the reported proposal. Today, Senator Angus King and 44 other senators signed a letter to DeVos asking her to reject the idea. In the letter, the lawmakers argue that federal grants are intended to help, quote, provide a well-rounded education, and were never meant to be spent on guns. They also argue that the proposal could lead to more violence, not less. In a recent Gallup poll, more than 80% of teachers said they wouldn't want to carry a gun in school. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
The Maine Department of Transportation has denied a request by an animal rights group to erect a tombstone on Route 1 in Brunswick, where several thousand lobsters died in a truck crash last week. DOT spokesperson Ted Talbot says the memorial sought by People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals would create a safety issue on the controlled access highway.
Which means a lot of heavy traffic. Cars and trucks at very high speeds. There are no signs allowed there, no roadside memorials along that stretch from anybody. So that's the first thing. Second thing is they want to have a tombstone, a granite tombstone. You know, we would consider that a deadly fixed object on the roadside. And for safety reasons, obviously, we wouldn't allow that either.
In its request earlier this week, PETA said the tombstone would have been inscribed with a message telling drivers to try vegan and help prevent lobsters from future suffering. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Thursday, August 30th, 2018. Thanks to Keith Shortall, Susan Sharon, Jennifer Mitchell, H.A. Higgins, and our digital team. I'm Ed Morin.